Hi there, I'm the bit before the theme music. I don't know if you remember, last week I got a bit lost, ended up halfway through the show instead of before the theme music. Well, this week I've been waiting patiently to be before the theme music, and here I am, before the theme music. I'm the bit before the theme music. Hope you enjoy the show.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just seeing a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm out of enthusiasm. How you doing? Full of enthusiasm? Well, maybe some of it will wash off on me, and I'll be enthusiastic. Yeah, actually, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling that enthusiasm, the Christmas enthusiasm. I've got a show for you. I want to say packed show, but I don't know. It might be a tiny show. No one knows what's going to happen. I just spout words and you listen to them. So I suppose we should just get started. Yeah, let's do that. Here we go.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is, do you remember, I've been doing a series of puppet-based ones. Well, this one is the third one. Again, this one is only available on YouTube. Well, I say only on YouTube. There might be other websites, but it's not like been on TV, I don't believe. And it's by the Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre. And I'm going to read the blurb about them from their website. The Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre are Earth's funniest footwear. After 12 sell-out years at the Edinburgh Fringe, they're on tour with shows including Eurovision Sock Contest, Superheroes, Shakespeare and more. Winners of the Best Joke Award at Bath Comedy Festival, they've been entertaining audiences internationally since 2007. See them live and enjoy them on YouTube with their unique brand of songs, sketches, socks and violence. There you go. Yeah, it's really good, actually. It's a really funny one. It's one bloke, Kev F. Sutherland, his name is. Actually, I'll tell you a little bit about Kev F. Sutherland, because he is a comedian and he does these shows. He's done other stuff as well, but he's foremost, I believe, a comic artist, and he's drawn strips for The Beano, and also, are you ready? Doctor Strange for Marvel. Yeah, and also Werewolf by Night and Ghost Rider 2099, which... I had a lot of Ghost Rider comics back in my comic reading days, but I don't think I ever read any Ghost Rider 2099 ones. So of course, as well as his comic work, he does this sock puppet theatre thing, and it is literally two sock puppets. He does both voices, and I say both voices, it's just one voice. He keeps with the same voice for both puppets the whole way through. Yeah, actually, let me let him introduce it to you.
We are the Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre, and so am I, and so is he. And now we present for you a seasonal classic, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Hello, my name's not Carol, where'd my hat go? Don't you start, I've just got to get my costume on. Oh, A Christmas Carol, is it? Yes, it is A Christmas Carol. Who are you then? I should be playing the part of Ebenezer Scrooge. He's Ebenezer Scrooge, do you think that works? Not really. I shall be Ebenezer Scrooge, and who are you going to be? I guess that I'm going to be everybody else. You are. Good, I like to be stretched. Later, first let's do the play. Go get your costume on.
There you go. So you've got these two puppets. One of them's going to play Scrooge. The other one's going to play the rest of the characters. And it opens up in Scrooge's counting house. I like this bit. Have a listen.
Here I am in my counting house. Counting houses. I don't know.
And he's got a really interesting way of adding bar humbug to everything he says. So, yeah. Actually, let me play a bit of that as well.
Adding up all of the sums, Bob Scratchit, bar humbug, bar humbug. Yes, I have, Mr. Scrooge. Can I go home for Christmas now? No, you must work longer, bar humbug. Why? For I am a mean, mean man, bar humbug, bar humbug.
So there's no Fred and there's no portly gentleman at all. I'm sorry about that, but you're going to have to just accept it. I mean, I'm apologising. I shouldn't be apologising. Just accept it. Then Scrooge and Cratchit, he calls him Scratchit. I'm not complaining. I've heard him called Scratchit and other things before. They have a chat about Bob's bonus. I'm going to play another clip for you. Here it comes.
And you can forget your Christmas bonus. What Christmas bonus? Oh, good, he's forgotten it.
Yeah, he's not getting a bonus. And then he sends Bob off home, and Scrooge goes home. And his old business partner turns up, and he's called Bob Marley. I'll play a bit for you.
Woo! Who is this doing all the wooing? It is me, Bob Marley. Bob Marley, he used to be my partner, and not in a gay way, the very same. Woo!
And he's dressed in, like, a red Santa suit. Now, it's difficult for a sock puppet to have a proper suit on because they've got no arms, but that's pretty much what he's wearing, a red Santa suit. They have their conversation, then he leaves. Then you've got the first ghost, and the first ghost is dressed like a cross between Elvis and Santa Claus. And it's quite funny, actually, because he goes, look at you as a child when you were at school. Just out of screen there, which I found really funny, because obviously it's just them two, so they've got to be looking at his past. We don't get to see the past. Let me play that bit for you. I'm going to play a lot of clips from this one, and I think you're going to enjoy them. So yeah, here comes the clip from that one. Here it comes.
And look, there's you as a boy, just out of shot. Oh, don't I look like a young Ian Beale? You do a bit. Oh, look, there's your first love. Oh, she's gone off with another bloke. And oh, look, there's your first employer, Mr. Fezziwig, having a laugh, probably at his own name. And look, there's the gravestone of your brother, George, who died because you didn't rescue him from the frozen pond. And there's you singing, Buffalo Girls, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo Girls, won't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon. That's It's a Wonderful Life. So it is, as you were.
And at this point, Scrooge is like, well, what's the whole point of this? And the ghost explains to him that, you know, you've had a hard life, you're probably clinically depressed, and ideally, you'd have a series of counselling. And Scrooge is like, well, that sounds great. And he goes, well, yeah, because of NHS cutbacks, we're just going to send in three ghosts. So that's what's up. The Ghost of Christmas Past leaves, and in comes the Ghost of Christmas Present. And the Ghost of Christmas Present is just a grumpy dwarf toy, you know, from Snow White. It's like a soft toy, a Disney soft toy. And only in this bit, when he first turns up, not for a big part of it, but they fly through the air. And it's nice because the background, it's all done on green screen. So the background keeps changing. And the background is from The Snowman, the 1980s cartoon, the classic British one. And it plays the music, Walking in the Air. And let me play that bit for you. You might enjoy it.
We're walking through the air. We're floating through the floaty sky. Below, below, below. Below, below, below. Enough. For copyright purposes, I think that is enough. Also, for the sake of my sanity.
Yeah, that's funny enough. Then they go to Cratchit's house, and they got the Tiny Tim joke. Now, this is the first time I've seen this done or mentioned at all, and I thought it was quite good, so here it is.
Why, it's Bob Scratchit and his little scratchings. And oh, look, I see his little crippled son, Tiny Tim. Oh, tiptoe through the tulips, that's what I do. If I had good feet, but I can't, because they're buggered. Oh, shit. God bless us, everyone.
Yeah, so Tiny Tim was a singer from the 60s. I'm not going to go massively into Tiny Tim. You know, he was around in the 60s. And that was his biggest hit, was Tiptoe Through the Tulips. I'll play a bit for you.
Tiptoe through the window, by the window, that's where I'll be. Come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
Yeah, that was his biggest hit. And interesting aside here, back in the 90s, I was in a band, and our drummer's dad was also a drummer. He'd played with Tiny Tim at the Isle of Wight Festival in the 60s. Yeah, like the Isle of Wight Festival was sort of like the UK version of Woodstock. The Isle of Wight Festival's been going again since, but there was like the big one in the 60s. Thought I'd mention that. Anyway, then Bob and Mrs. Cratchit have a scene, and they're arguing about no bonus, and this is quite a long clip, but Bob is just going on about how mean his boss is. Have a listen.
Ebenezer Scrooge is so mean. He is so mean, he hangs toilet paper out to dry. He is so mean, he has a fork in the sugar bowl. He is so mean, he goes to KFC to lick other people's fingers. He is so mean. He is so mean. I went into his house and I swatted a firefly. He said, who put out the lights? He is so mean. He is so mean. He waves a nice lolly around and calls it air conditioning. He is so mean. Mr. Scrooge, he is so mean. That you ask him where his toilet is. He says, pick a corner, any corner. He is so mean. He is so mean. The only time he smells hot food is when somebody farts. He is so mean. Okay, enough. Ebenezer Scrooge is so mean jokes. I've got more. I've heard them. They're your mama jokes that you've done, and you've just changed your mama to my name. He's so mean. He's so mean. I saw him walking down the street in one shoe. I said, lost a shoe. He said, no, found one.
Then the Ghost of Christmas Present comes back, and originally he's dressed as Bob Cratchit. He's like, yeah, but I'm not Bob Cratchit. I'm the Ghost of Christmas Present. Let me go and get changed. So he goes and gets changed. And he gets changed into the costume from the Ghost of Christmas Past. You know, the Elvis slash Santa costume. And I sort of thought, what happened to the grumpy soft toy? Why aren't you using that instead? That was fine. He looked more like the Ghost of Christmas Present. But there you go. And this is a very short version. And it's a very loose adaptation. But I was a bit disappointed with the way that Bob Cratchit is going on about how tight his boss is. Maybe it would have been better if Mrs. Cratchit has, because in the book it's Mrs. Cratchit that's sort of saying how bad Scrooge is, and in the book Bob is almost defending him. So yeah, I sort of feel like they sort of missed the point on that. It's the way they did it. Then the Ghost of Christmas Future turns up, and he's funny looking because it's the same sock puppet, but either side of him is like two sort of paper mache skulls with the eyes hanging out of one of them. And they've all got hoods on, so like three of them with hoods on. And he's like, oh, look at this. There's your gravestone out of shot over there. And let me play this bit again for you as well. It's easy if I play it for you, because then I don't have to talk about it, do I? It saves me time. Saves you nothing. Right, here it comes.
Well, so what you're saying is this is the future? Yes. And I die. Yes. And they bury me. Yes. Thank God for that. I thought you were going to say I was going to come back as a zombie. No, I mean, the point is, I mean, living forever as a zombie, now that would be crap. Rising up out of the grave, bits hanging off me. No, I'll be glad to be dead. But you'll be dead. Yes, as we've already established, I'm probably clinically depressed. Death is probably something I crave. But the worms will eat you. I don't care, I'm dead. But look, there's some old women over there being rude about you and dividing up your stuff and saying nasty things. I don't care, I'm still dead.
And Scrooge doesn't care because he's dead. He said, I don't care. I don't care about Tim. I don't care about anything, really. The whole thing, he's not bothered. And at the end of it, the ghost is like, well, have you learned anything? And he's like, no. Maybe I should have had the counselling instead. And the ghost is like, oh, right, I'll see what I can sort out. And it ends with Scrooge saying this.
God bless us, everyone.
And that was it. I don't know if I mentioned this. It came out in 2013. The whole thing is about 14 minutes long. And I highly recommend it, actually. It's had about 5,500 hits on YouTube, which I suppose is decent, I guess. More than any videos I've ever put up there. Do you know what? I have got a video on YouTube. You might want to go and watch it, actually. If you want to know what I look like, do you know what? Forget it. I'm not telling you. You can watch my Batman clips. If you want to watch a Batman clip of me, you don't get to see my face that way. This way, you still think I'm incredibly handsome. I'm not. I'm hideously ugly. Yeah, if you go on YouTube and type in real life Batman Tesco's, you'll get one of my video clips there for my Batman movie, which no one seems to have enjoyed, apart from me. I still think it's great. Yeah, where was I? He's done loads of other Christmas stuff, actually. He's got a version of The 12 Days of Christmas, which is loads of fun. Did like a Zoom Christmas special, which was like an hour long with loads of songs and sketches and all sorts on it. I watched a bit of it. I haven't watched the whole thing. I will at some point. Generally, it's funny stuff. I think you should go and search out the Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre, and I will be putting links in the show notes. But there you go. That was it. That was that. I hope you enjoyed it. Well, you haven't watched it yet, have you? But I hope you do enjoy it, or I hope you enjoyed me talk. Oh, just let's do the next bit.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
You know, we take great pride in our science knowledge at the Tiki Bar. For example, we know that rubbing alcohol treats outside wounds, while drinking alcohol treats the inside ones. I was listening to a favorite Christmas podcast the other day, and the host, let's just call him Jim, was talking about an illustration he bought off eBay. he was told that it was hand-drawn by a famous cartoonist, but without any documentation. Similar to an episode of Antique Roadshow, he decided to have it authenticated. You know how these stories go, and we expected it to end the same way. He had it proudly framed on his wall, and it would turn out to be fake. But no, it was real. However, I was even more "do you hear what I hear" intrigued when I heard that he had spent 100 quid for it. Just like we Americans refer to our dollars as bucks, the Brits like to use the term quid as an expression for the British pound sterling. My first thought was, where did this word come from, as we don't have the term quid or anything like it in the States. After much work and research, what we do know is that quid first came into use sometime in the late 17th century, but no one knows for sure exactly where it came from. There is a lot of blame to go around. The most popular explanation is that it comes from the Latin phrase quid pro quo, which means generally this for that. Since it is a description of an exchange, a thing given for something else, it came to be adopted for money. Now, it may say something about the US that the term quid pro quo here is used to describe sexual harassment, where the victim is threatened with a demotion or a firing unless they offer sexual favors. I mean, this is also an exchange, but quite a different one. Some other suggestions are that the ancient Romans, the Irish, the French, the Italians, or even us colonists were the source for the term quid. So from the French, the word quibus is used in slang for money, cash, and it comes from the phrase quibus flunt omnia, by which all things happen. Thus, quibus, quid. Or maybe from the Irish. They would refer to their money in Gaelic as mo chud. Chud is the word for possession or money. Mo chud was used to mean my money. So chud, quid. Or the Italians. They may have originated the word from their name scudo, which was used for what they called the coins in Italy at the time. So maybe scudo, quid. Or finally, because the poor colonists stateside, we had no money. We had to use other assets for trade, like tobacco, which was bundled into 1 pound packages called quids. See? Quids, quid. Another common belief is since the pound notes came from Quidhampton Mill in Wiltshire, England, they might have been called Quidhampton notes or quids. So as you can see, this is all clear as mud, and I am not quitting. However, it does remind me of the story of the squid who wasn't feeling well. He went to see a whale who asked him what was wrong. The quid said that he didn't just feel right and was wondering if the whale could help. He told the squid to follow him, and they went to see a great white shark. "What's up, Sharky?" said the whale. "Nothing," replied the shark. "What brings you to these waters?" the whale responded. "Just passing through. But while I'm here, here is that sick squid I owe you." Cheers and happy Christmas.
Well, great work, Bob. Again, as ever, fantastic research. I'm going to go with the Latin one, quid. I could be wrong. I don't really mind. I use the term all the time, actually. Quite often we'll say squids as well, though, but that's just come from quid. So someone might go, "How much was it?" And you go, "Oh, it cost me a squid." But that came from quid. And also, well done for topping it off with that hilarious joke. That's a classic, that joke. I remember hearing that when I was a kid. Anyway, great work. Bob will be back in a bit. Right now, I'm going to do this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Hooray for the quiz! Here it is, boys and girls. 10 glorious questions, 10 fabulous answers, and then we're all happy. Okay, question number one. In the Dickens novel A Christmas Carol, what is the name of Bob Cratchit's oldest daughter? Yeah. Okay, number two. Who plays Carol Vanstone, the interim chief executive officer of the Zenotech company, who threatens to cancel the firm's festive celebrations in the 2016 film Office Christmas Party? There you go. Who's the bad guy in Office Christmas Party? Okay, next one. I don't know how you're going to get this, but I like the question, so I'm going to put it in there. Who once put Viagra in his nan's Christmas cracker? So it's not like he spiked her with it, do you know what I mean? She just pulled a cracker and a Viagra's in there. Shouldn't that have been for granddads? I don't know. Anyway, was it either... These are all famous British chefs. You will have heard of one of them at least. Was it Rick Stein, Jamie Oliver, or Ainsley Harriott? Which one of those three thought it would be hilarious to put some Viagra in his grandmother's Christmas cracker? Okay, next one. Here we go. Which BBC... Okay, right. Don't get upset about this, or get upset about it, but try not to act on your anger, okay? Try to bottle it up inside like a little black ball in the pit of your stomach. Because you ain't going to know this question if you're not in the UK. And you know what? If you're in the UK and you're in your 20s, odds are you're not going to know it either. And then if you're in your 30s or 40s, you probably won't know it. And if you're in your 50s or 60s, you might not know it. The thing is, I've just found it incredibly interesting. So here's the question. Which BBC sitcom starring Terry Scott and June Whitfield had Christmas specials in 1976 and 1977 titled Christmas and June's Parents? Okay, so what was the name of that sitcom? I thought I knew it. I did not. Yeah. Question number five. These lyrics begin the second verse of which carol? Are you ready? Hither, page, and stand by me. If thou know'st it telling, right? Yonder peasant, who is he? And where and what is dwelling? Okay, what is that song? Those lyrics, they begin this. You just answer the question. Which song by The Waitresses, although only reaching number 45 in the UK, has appeared on numerous Christmas compilation albums and begins with the lyrics, Bah Humbug. And I'll say this, that song does get plenty of airplay. Yeah, at Christmas, plenty of radio airplay. I don't love it, I don't hate it. You know, the Spice Girls did a cover of it on the B-side of one of their Christmas singles, I think. Anyway, I've definitely heard a Spice Girls cover of it. Right, next question. British man Henry Cole is credited with introducing the first commercial what in 1843, which people now buy in the millions every year? Okay, it's Christmas related, don't forget, kids. What did Henry Cole invent? Question number something. How many musicians in total are there on the 12th day in the song The 12 Days of Christmas? In total. Add them all up. Okay, right. I don't know what we're up to, but this is the next one. Oh, I do know what we're up to. This is number 9. These are the opening lyrics of which song that has re-entered the charts on numerous occasions, but originally was released in 1973. Welcome to my Christmas song. I'd like to thank you for the year, so I'm sending you this Christmas card to say, it's nice to have you here. Okay, what song's that? And the last one, in which 1995 film does Sandra Bullock say, $45 for a Christmas tree and they don't deliver? You order $10 worth of chow mein for Mr. Wong, they bring it to your door. How was that? That sounded a lot like her. I really feel like I had the essence. I had her essence in that performance. Okay, you ready for some answers? You better be, baby, because they're coming whether you want them or not. Okay, question number one. In the Dickens novel, A Christmas Carol, what's the name of Bob Cratchit's oldest daughter? Well, her name is, of course, Martha. Or, to give her a full name, Martha Cratchit. Question number two. Who plays Carol Vanstone, the bad guy, in Office Christmas Party? That was, of course, Rachel from Friends. Or Jennifer Aniston. Call her what you will. She won't answer. Probably won't. She might. I mean, I've tried, but she never answers. Right. Question number three. Who once put Viagra in his nan's Christmas cracker as a hilarious Christmas prank? Well, that was Jamie Oliver. Yeah. Good one, Jamie. Yeah, well done. Question number four. Which BBC sitcom starring Terry Scott and June Whitfield had Christmas specials in 76 and 77 titled Christmas and June's Parents? Well, here's the deal, right? There was a very popular, very famous TV show in the 80s called Terry and June. And I loved that show. It was very funny. I always really liked Terry Scott. He did the voice of Penfold in Danger Mouse. I don't know if you watched Danger Mouse. Anyway, he was also in the Carry On films. So was June Whitfield. They had a TV series together. It was called Terry and June. So I'm like, well, that's an easy one. Terry and June. It wasn't. Because they had a show previous to that, and it was called Happy Ever After. Yeah. I didn't know that. So that was the answer. Happy Ever After. And if you're not in the UK, you're there listening to me thinking, what is this? Quelle relevance? That's French for what's the relevance of this crap. There is no relevance. I just wanted to share it. Maybe there's one or two. Maybe there's one person out there that's like, well, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. I didn't know that. Now I do. Now we both do. Let's be friends. Right, let's get back to the regular questions. Don't get upset. I don't often throw in the British-centric questions. I kick those out, okay? This book, I probably choose about two-thirds to three-quarters of the questions. The rest I don't use because they're too British-centric, okay? I'm not going to justify myself to you. Right, where was I? Question number whatever. These lyrics begin the second verse of which carol? Hither, page, stand by me. If thou knowst it, tell him. Yonder peasant, huh? Who is he? And where and what is his dwelling? Well, that was, of course, hear the page and stand by me. If thou knowst it, telling yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling? Good King Wenceslas, of course. Next one. Which song by The Waitresses, although only reaching number 45 in the UK, has appeared on numerous Christmas albums and begins with the lyrics, Bah Humbug? Well, that is Christmas rapping. Bah humbug, well that's too strong because today's my favourite time of year. No. British man Henry Cole is credited with introducing the first commercial watt in 1843, which people now buy in the millions every year. That was, of course, Christmas cards. Yeah, Henry Cole invented them. Good work, Henry. See, an interesting fact, right? This is true. You know, people talk about like Valentine's Day. Oh, that's just a way for card companies to make more money. Yeah, Valentine's cards came out before Christmas cards. Years before. That's true. And then Henry Cole's like, hang on a minute. I can make some money out of this. Let's send cards at Christmas. Maybe I'll do a segment on it one day. Maybe I won't. Who knows? Right, next question. How many musicians in total are there on the 12th day in the song The 12 Days of Christmas? Well, you've got your 12 drummers drumming and your 11 pipers piping. Add them together, you've got 23. Here's the thing, right? How many musicians it says, right? One of them, he's not actually a proper drummer. No, right? His brother's the drummer, but his brother was ill. So he turned up. He's just banging on a drum, yeah? He's not really a musician. So really, the answer should have been 22. But if you put 23, I'll let you have the point. Question number nine. These are the opening lyrics of which song that has re-entered the charts? What's this song? All right, I'm not going to read the whole of the question. Welcome to my Christmas song. I'd like to thank you for the year. So I'm sending you this Christmas card, which was originally invented by Henry Cole in 1843 to say it's nice to have you here. That was, of course, Step Into Christmas by Elton John. And the last question, in which 1995 film does Sandra Bullock say, $45 for a Christmas tree and they don't deliver? You ordered $10 worth of chow mein from Mr. Wong, they bring it to your door! That was, of course, While You Were Sleeping. Do you know what? I don't even know if I've seen that all the way through. Yeah. Anyway, that was the 10 questions. Do you know what I scored? I was so chuffed with myself. I thought, I got 9. Easy. I got 9. Well, the Jamie Oliver one, that was a stab. I got that. And then I thought, if I get the Jamie Oliver one, I got a full house. Well, I got the Jamie Oliver one. That Terry and June one, I can't imagine one of you got that. But if you did, email me and say, yeah, I got it because I'm more clever than you. And you probably are, to be honest. But that's okay. You know, we've all got our skills. My skill is, Well, Everyone apart from me has got their skills. Right, let's do the next bit. Here it comes. Hey, boys and girls, just for a change, I didn't tell you this, or maybe I did, I don't know. This book I've got that I just did the quiz from, yeah, it's the biggest Christmas quiz book ever. 1,063 quiz questions. Some of the questions are actually just jokes. And it says, like, so you've got number 663, that's what this one is, I'm up to. It says, crack a question, and then it tells you the joke. So that's what I'm doing this week. I'm using one of the questions from a quiz book. So you could consider this the 11th question in the quiz. You'd be a fool if you did, but you know, it's your life. Live it how you want. Be young, be foolish, but be happy, for goodness sakes. Anyway, here's the joke. What do Santa's little helpers learn at school? The alphabet. Ha 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 ha. Right, let's do something else. Bob's back again, boys and girls. Oh, and Bob, here's that 6 quid I owe you.
Thanks, Jack. What is fascinating is how the desire to spread the Christmas spirit throughout the year stems from our own empathy. The less self-absorbed we are, the more altruistic we become. We learn how being kind makes everyone feel happy. So today's Smile of Joy is to find ways to instill these lessons into our children. It can be difficult because of the dependence that we all have on our smartphones and on social media. This behavior tends to focus us more and more of our attention on ourselves, not less. We need to teach our children to recognize how fortunate they are. When they understand how they are blessed to live in a home with loving parents, in a safe country without war, and with good food and water, they also realize that not all children have this experience. This can raise their levels of compassion, and it allows for grace and charity to flourish within them. Help them to learn and practice gratitude by seeking and pointing out all of the small miracles that happen every day. Ask them what things they are grateful for and model your own behavior. Show them activities and choices they can make to be more sympathetic and to spread joy. These are necessary life skills, as we will need our children to lead the way towards a better world. If you know of another way to coax a smile of joy from your kids, you let Jack know. He'll pass it on to me, and together we'll spread their little arms around the world.
That's another good one, isn't it? You got to raise your kids right. Me, I've already failed with my two. I've raised a couple of ingrates. But you guys out there, learn from my mistakes. You can do better. Good one, Bob. Now, boys and girls, we've discussed this numerous times. I'm going to go over it again, just to make myself 100% clear. Lord Robert of Baker has a podcast. It is called The Festive Foreign Film Fans. It is wonderful, glorious, in fact. So, after you've listened to this, go and listen to that. If you are already listening to it, you'll know how good it is. If you're not, go and do it now. Not now, not right now, after this. But right now, it's this.
I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
And so, boys and girls, back in December 2022, Timothy Lewis, one of my lovely listeners from the States, sent me 5 Christmas songs that he thought I might not be familiar with in the UK. And I was not. I did not know a single one of them. So, Bob Baker, our self-appointed podcast barman, and of course the provider of 2 fabulous segments every episode, has also sent over a load of songs. Now, he sent me 9 songs. I'm going to cover 5 in this episode and 4 in the next episode, because, boys and girls, 5 add 4 equals 9. That's the total. So I'm going to play the songs And then I'm going to tell you if I've heard of the Bloomin' Things. So let's play the first one.
And you ask me what I want this year, and I try to make this kind and clear, just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. 'Cause I don't need boxes wrapped in strings and designer love and empty things, just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. So take
Okay, so have I heard of that song before? No. No, I haven't. That song is called Better Days. It's by the Goo Goo Dolls. I'm familiar with only one Goo Goo Dolls song, and it's Iris. It's this one.
And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't think that they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know.
Now, the Goo Goo Dolls, they got together originally in 1986 in Buffalo, New York. They've been together, what's that, nearly 40 years they've been going. That song came out in 2005. It got to number 36 on the Billboard chart. In the UK, it did actually chart, but only at number 81. So I don't know how much airplay it got back in 2005. I don't remember hearing it. I do not remember hearing that song. They released it as part of an album, It's Christmas All Over, in 2020. Yeah, but sadly, that is not a song I was familiar with. So let's try the next one. Here it comes.
I don't care what the neighbors say, Christmas time is near. I don't care what anyone says, Christmas is full of cheer. All I know is the Santa sleigh is making its way to the USA. I wish it was Christmas today.
Okay, that was the second one. Was I familiar with that song? No. No, I was not. That song was called I Wish It Was Christmas Today by Julian Casablancas from The Strokes, and it was released in 2009. It didn't chart, but that has been on a British television show called Misfits and another British television show called Made in Chelsea. Now, Made in Chelsea, it's a bit like Jersey Shore, but with rich people in Chelsea in London. Yeah, I never watched it. I think I've seen a bit of one episode and it made me furious. I don't want to watch rich people being dicks, do I? I can watch poor people, i.e. myself, being dicks, and it don't cost me a penny. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, so this song, if you're not familiar with the Julian Casablancas version, which I was not, you might be familiar with the Saturday Night Live version of it. And they've had this in sketches since 2000, and they've done various versions of it for other holidays. I'll play a little bit for you.
I don't care what your mama says, Christmas time is near. I don't care what your daddy says, Christmas time is near. All I know is the Santa sleigh is making its way to the USA.
Yeah. So that's been going since 2000, so 24 years. And then Julian Casablancas from The Strokes. Did I already say it was from The Strokes? If I didn't, Julian Casablancas is the lead singer of The Strokes. He released it in 2009, and that was number two. Now, this is the third song. Let's have a listen to this one.
Remember last year when you were on your own? Swole the spirit couldn't be found. December rolled around and you were counting on it.
Okay, was I familiar with that song? No. No, I was not. That song was called Everything's Gonna Be Cool This Christmas by The Eels. Now, I was familiar with The Eels from two songs. There's this one. That's Novocaine for the Soul. And there's also this one. And do you know, I was looking at their discography and it looks like they were bigger in the UK. Like all their albums charted higher in the UK, and also all their singles seem to sell better in the UK than in the States. But they are from the States, and it never charted, that song, but it has appeared in a TV series. I think it was a Netflix TV series, but I could be wrong, like a Christmas series called Dash and Lily. It was also in an episode of Roswell, and it was also in the Christmas movie Unaccompanied Minors. And it was on Made in Chelsea. There they are. Second appearance for Made in Chelsea. Well done, Made in Chelsea. Yeah, that song came out in 2002. I like it. It's a nice song, but I do not know it. Okay, ready for the next one. That was the third one. This one is the fourth one.
No, everything changed. Strange how time marches on. Well, maybe, maybe sometime in the future. Oh, tell me. Tell me I'm wrong.
Now, was I familiar with that song? No. No, I was not. That song was A Change at Christmas, Say It Isn't So, by The Flaming Lips. Yeah, that was originally released in 2003, but in 2020 they re-released it with a new video. Yeah, it's got quite a nice message actually. It is a lovely song. Now, The Flaming Lips, again, I think they're slightly bigger in the UK than in the States. Certainly their singles seem to have charted higher than they have in the States. They've been going since 1983, so they actually are over 40 years old, and they originated it in Oklahoma City. I'm a fan, actually. I particularly like Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots and the song Fight Test. Fight Test is a really interesting one, actually. I'm going to do a sidebar here, which has nothing to do with Christmas. I'm going to talk about it briefly anyway. So this song, Fight Test, from The Flaming Lips, it was played on Radio 2. And then the guy presenting the show, his name's Steve Wright, very famous DJ in the UK. Straight after it, he played this song.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy.
Now that song is Father to Son by Cat Stevens, and they sound very, very similar. And I think it was because of the airplay on Radio 2, when Steve Wright brought attention to it, that Cat Stevens took it to court. And I think he got a load of money from it, from that song. And actually, I've got to read out the line, because I remember now. I remember reading about it once before. Listen to it. This is what the guy from Flaming Lips said. So Wayne Coyne is the front man of The Flaming Lips. And this is what he said. I'm going to read the whole bit out for you. I want to go on record for the first time and say that I really apologise for the whole thing. I really love Cat Stevens. I truly respect him as a great singer-songwriter. And now he wants his money. There was a time during the recording when we said, this has a similarity to Father and Son. Then we purposefully changed those bits. But I do regret not contacting his record company and asking their opinion. Maybe we could have gone 50-50. As it is, Cat Stevens is now getting 75% of royalties from Fight Test. We could easily have changed the melody, but we didn't. I'm really sorry that Cat Stevens thinks I'm purposefully plagiarising his work. I am ashamed. There was obviously a fine line between being inspired and stealing. But if anyone wanted to borrow part of a Flaming Lips song, I don't think I'd bother pursuing it. I've got better things to do. Anyway, Cat Stevens is never going to make much money out of us. I like that bit. Yeah, there you go. That was it. That's the story of Fight Test and Father to Son. But that's got nothing to do with Christmas. Actually, I'll tell you, it's a little bit to do with Christmas because the Irish band Boyzone did a cover of it and it got to number one very close to Christmas in Ireland, and in the UK it got to number two very close to Christmas. I don't think it was number two at Christmas. I don't know. But anyways, it was like a Christmas single that didn't get to number one. Yeah, so there you go. It is to do with Christmas after all. Yeah, that song was called A Change at Christmas, Say It Isn't So, and it was on the album Ego Trippin' at the Gates of Hell in 2003 by the Flaming Lips. Oh, and one last thing to say about that song, yeah, A Change at Christmas, that also apparently appeared on Made in Chelsea. Yeah, there you go. So the thing is, I went on this website called TuneFind, and each one of these songs, I put it in there, and it tells you what TV series and movies the songs have appeared on. And you put in the artist, and it comes up with what songs they've had in movies or TV shows. Next to the TV show or movie, it's either got a green tick or an orange question mark. And if it's a green tick, that's confirmed. It's definitely on that show or film. If it's an orange question mark, it's not confirmed. So all three of those ones that were apparently on Made in Chelsea had orange question marks. So I don't know if they were definitely on the show, but it's some ink, innit? Right. Right, now let's get on to the last one. Here it comes. I hear it's cold out where you're leaving, but it ain't colder than I've been. I've been an animal since you left me. I need you wrapped under my tree. My Christmas cheer is here and ready, but where are you to set it free? I sit alone by the fire inside our home. Outside the snow is falling and I'm singing, wishes are made, wishes are mine. Grant me this one small wish on Christmas night, cause I don't need candy or the toys from my. Okay, that was the fifth one, and have I heard that song before? No. No, I have not. So that's 5 for 5, me not knowing a single one of them. This one was called Wishlist by Neon Trees, and it came out in 2010, and it's a non-album single, so they released it on its own, like a standalone single, and it didn't chart. There you go. Apparently, though, according to Bob, it still gets airplay, but not in the UK, or if it does in the UK, I ain't never heard it, mush. So there you go, that is that segment. Yeah, I'll be back again in the next episode with another 4. Thanks for sending them through, Bob. Now, boys and girls, I'm going to do this. Do you know what? I haven't got a recommendation this week again because I've just been doing this. Oh, I'll tell you what, Baby Reindeer. Have I talked about Baby Reindeer? It's got nothing to do with Christmas. It's this Netflix series. It's British-based, about this comedian who's being stalked by a stalker. And it's really interesting. It's based on a true story. I don't know how true it is, but it's like, since it came out, it's overtaken the media in this country. I don't know if it's sort of gone international or not, but really good show, really interesting. Highly recommended, Baby Reindeer on Netflix. If you ain't got Netflix, I don't know, just look at a little baby reindeer somewhere. You remember when Rudolph was first born? Just look at that. It's nothing like the one I'm talking about, but it's something, isn't it? Yeah, Baby Reindeer, Netflix. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, you know what to do. Email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com or go on Facebook, actually. Facebook's a good way. Sometimes I reply to those messages. Or you can go on the website, which I still haven't updated, but just go on the contact form and contact me. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. So merry, happy Christmas.
So, good news. I saw a dog today. Have you seen a dog? You probably have.